Yeah, I've got nothing to do here. I mean, my team's only won 19 games. Why are people paying so much attention to it?
Because you got 2-3 in the house, baby.
Is that what it is?
Now, has anyone from the media been able to watch his workouts yet? Has that been allowed yet? Still, the blackout is still on.
It is the shroud of DC. I mean, this guy is, you know, he's more evasive than Gary Condit. Tony Kornheiser, one of my colleagues, wow, in a column today, said he has mastered the Washington politics stance here. So
you can't even see free throws from Jordan.
No, he you know, apparently he's getting out of there before the media is allowed in, and I mean he's got the lieutenant doing a good job of steering us one way or another. You know, so we don't know which exit he's going out at, you know. So it's interesting, but, you know, hopefully we'll know something soon, because the longer this thing drags on, the more interesting and kind of crazy it gets.
Steve, what are you hearing, though? I mean, I know some people have to talk to you a little bit. Does he look good? Does he look crisp? Does he look 26, 27 points per game? What does he want from all of this to make the decision that in October he's going to be in training camp?
Well, first off, I think I think any of us would be crazy to assume that he'd be coming back and be satisfied with being third team all NBA. If he comes back, he wants to be the top guy. And, you know, I think that's all, you know, I think that's to be expected. I don't think anybody wants him to be anything less than what he was. And, you know, everyone who he practiced with for the two practices, he just said he just easily dominated. I mean, Doug Collins said that he made it look like the game was being played. You know, everyone else is in slow motion because he was so fluid and just looked so good. And, you know, some of the people who have played with him, I guess, before he broke his ribs are just like, you know, there's no drop-off. If he were to come back, he could play at a high level. I mean, I think it's easy to say right now when he plays one, two, or three games over an 82-game season, we'd see. But I don't think Michael Jordan would come back to play unless he would be something pretty close to the Jordan we last saw in that sixth championship season.
Steve, what about the rest of the puzzle, though? Okay, so Michael comes back. As a Wizard observer that you are, and you saw the team last year, unfortunately.
thank you.
Yeah. Our condolences to your entire family.
Any pity I can get, I'll take.
What's going to happen, though, when he comes back? What do you think, looking at this, what they have last year, what they're adding, and then plus him, what does that equal?
Well, I mean, immediately he makes them better. I mean, the thing is, you have to look at the rest of the conference. The rest of the conference is pretty much better. And then two teams who've been good, like New York and Miami, might not be better. They might actually take a step backwards. Teams like Orlando and Milwaukee.
Atlanta.
And, you know, Indiana, Atlanta. I mean, all these teams are going to be better. And the thing is, you know, and the interesting question is, too, even though Doug Collins said Michael Jordan, if he came back, could play some small forward, you still have the question of Richard Hamilton and Courtney Alexander, who are two very, very good young players who are offensive players who need their shots. And if Michael Jordan comes back, those two guys aren't going to get the shots that they really need to be as good as they are. So, I mean, that's an interesting question. They've got a lot of youth on the front line. Of course, Kwame Brown, the number one pick. They've got Etan Thomas, who was a lottery pick last year, who they got in a trade from Dallas, who didn't play because of toe surgery. You know, there's going to be a lot of youth. I mean, Michael Jordan would probably do as much coaching, and I don't know necessarily coaching, but mentoring as you would playing, because they have so much inexperience on that floor, which is good compared to the teams they've had, where they've had, you know, Rod Strickland and Mitch Richmond, a lot of veterans who couldn't get things done.
Now, Steve, I'm not interested in getting you in any hot water, but there's always the big but there. And is Jordan going to be truly, at 38, and will turn 39 during the regular season, the best player in the NBA? Even if in his mind he decides he can be, will he be? Can he beat Iverson and guard Iverson? Can he beat Kobe and guard Kobe? Those are the types of questions that, you know, there's still five, maybe four guys that might pose a problem for Michael Jordan at 39.
There's a lot more than that. I mean, the two-guard position is the deepest position in the NBA. And when you go to Vince Carter, Paul Pierce, Ray Allen, Iverson, I mean, these are things he has to seriously ask himself when he comes back. Now, granted, the Jordan mystique, it could still put some doubt in these guys' minds, especially if he comes out the first time he plays him and really dominates him. But these guys are confident now. They've got 5 or 6 years under him. that's what can make this whole thing so thrilling to me, is if these young guys who we've watched really elevate their games the last couple of years step up and meet his challenge. I just think personally, if he does come back himself, you know, he knows how great of a player he was. If he doesn't feel he can be that good, then I don't think he'll do it.
But don't you think, Steve, he's not going to be guarding twos when he comes back, do you think?
Probably not. I mean, you're not going to put him against Allen Iverson. That's why they went out and signed Tyronn Lue. I mean, the matchups will be favorable to him. I mean, that's,
right.
You know, Doug Collins, as we know, you know, he's had his problems, but the guy knows how to coach. You can't knock him for that. And they're going to put him in the best situations. And we got to keep in mind, the NBA is allowing zone defenses. So if they're ever against a team like Orlando that just can come at you with, you know, Grant Hill and Tracy McGrady and Mike Miller and all these different types of matchups, you drop into a 2-3 zone or a 2-1-2 zone, and you just try and stretch it the best you can.
That's a great point. I really haven't anyone talk about that the rule change will certainly help Michael's legs.
It'll help a lot of the older players.
Mm-hmm.